Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
We're in the middle of our burnout recovery series. And of course, for those of you who are not in burnout, who are watching these videos, this is going to be not a super long series. I think we have two left in the group that I want to do. And then we will move on to other topics, because I know this is a lot. If you're not in burnout recovery, thinking about this is often not fun, because either we've seen it behind us or we see it in front of us and we don't want to think about it. So if you're in that place where you just don't want to think about it right now, I will not be offended if you don't watch these videos at all, because we will return to other content once we're finished this series. But last week we talked about the first step of the recovery process, which is, of course, how do we get here? What is the cause or the impetus of getting us into this burnout place? And then have we addressed the problem? Because of course, if you don't address the thing that got you there, you're going to get back there, or you're also potentially not going to be able to get out of the recovery. Because what we're going to talk about, especially in the next two videos, is assuming that you have addressed the source of the problem so that it is no longer happening. And many of us, that happens naturally when we burn out, because what we were doing is keeping a pace that was too high. And then when we burn out or hit the pit, especially the bottom of the pit, we're just not able to continue. The pace is not sustainable in the moment of the burnout pit. And so we naturally are not doing those things. But of course, many of us want to return back. And so I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't already watched the first part of this series, to go back and watch the first part. What I'm hoping to talk about today is the concept of making pennies to get out of the pit. So because the metaphors get a little mixed up, of course, when I talked about it in the original book, I acknowledged this as well, that the concept of making pennies works for me because of the exchange, the currency exchange. And I think currency is the easiest way for me to think about that energy exchange. But when we're talking about coming out of the pit, the metaphor we use in the book is building the ladder out of the pit. And so what I describe in the very beginning of that segment of the book is when you wake up each morning, when you're in the bottom of the pit, there are some pennies naturally laying around that you have made just by doing things like sleeping and eating and, you know, existing. Like, there are some natural pennies that get made. And so if you think of it as I'm in this black, dark place and I wake up and there are some pennies there that I can gather and start filling my penny bank again. But then the problem is that I'm in the bottom of the pit. So I have to build a way out of the pit for myself, which means that I have to use those pennies for something other than just existing in the bottom of the pit. So when I do in the burnout book, I talk about the way that every single thing that we do costs us something or gives us something. And sometimes it can be both. So for those of you who are reading because you're in the burnout pit, it gives you pennies to read, but it might also cost you because you're thinking, I should be working, I should be writing, I should be working, I shouldn't be reading. This is luxury. This is a waste of my time. And so for those of us who are having those thoughts, that means it's costing me pennies at the same time that it's giving me pennies. This is part of why, as coaches, we often attack mindset stuff first. The idea that, for instance, accepting the essential pain that recovery is going to be a long process. So acknowledgement that it's not just going to, I'm not just going to wake up in 2 days and all of the burnout is going to be gone. This is going to be a process. And I actually had a coaching call with someone that I just want to bring this up because I think this is so important. I had a coaching call with an author who sent me an email afterward, a couple of weeks after we had had the coaching call. And I made a comment to her in the call that burnout recovery is going to happen regardless of whether you want it to. So you might as well enjoy it. Like, you might as well enjoy the process of recovery, because you can't work at the same level that you used to. And the things that you need to do in order to get out of the pit are often things that you enjoy doing anyway. And so you're going to force yourself to do those things just to be able to pass time almost, because you can't work on the level that you used to. Because of course, the creative work is very taxing when you're in the bottom of the pit. And we'll talk about why that is in a second. But if you think about the enjoyment of recovery, that is how the building of pennies happens. Not enjoying the burnout, but enjoying the recovery. When you are in the middle of burnout recovery and you're constantly trying to force yourself to go back to work at the level that you were at, it's going to take you longer to get out of the pit. Because when you think about that, it costs me to have those intrusive thoughts or negative thoughts or critical thoughts. It costs me pennies to talk myself out of that place, because I'm going to have to do this stuff anyway. And my comment to her about you might as well enjoy it was meant to say that the time is going to be taken out of your schedule. And so if you don't allow yourself to just do whatever you need to do to recover, then it's going to take you longer to get out of the recovery. And also, you're going to have to go through it anyway. So if you don't enjoy it, then you're doing all these things that are helping you to build pennies and you're not even having fun doing it. And I would say, and I know that it sounds weird to say you might as well enjoy it, like somehow we're burning out so that we can have this recovery. And that's not what this is about. What happens is those of us who have a harder time allowing ourselves to rest or relax. And again, I'm going to reference the 4,000 Weeks book. And this is very important. Embracing limitations is part of what helps us to live that life where we're more content and secure. And I'm not saying you have to like them, right? Like, you don't have to like the fact that you're in recovery in order to enjoy the process. You can just accept it. That's all it is. It's acceptance. But it's very similar to if you've ever been through either the grief process or surgery recovery, which I talk about in the burnout book, how when I had major surgery, my doctor told me it was going to be like a certain amount of weeks or months before I would be back to 100%. And when I didn't believe her and I tried to get myself back to that place faster, I actually made my recovery worse. And to this day, I have some issues physically because I did not allow myself the time that it took to get to a recovery place. They're fixable, but there are things that I'm just not capable of doing because I didn't recover in the way that I was supposed to. So I would say part of the reason that we talk about embracing where you're at and going through the recovery process in a more conscious way is because if you don't allow yourself to recover correctly or properly or fully by doing all the things you need to do to get out of it, then you're not going to be able to get out of the pit. And that is like some of us, especially during the pandemic, like we had some people who were in burnout already at the beginning of the pandemic and have never really recovered. And for 2 years have been just skating in and out of this place of having absolutely no energy and no capacity, and then having some, and then having none, and then having some. And again, when we go through the recovery, it's the two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, and then one step forward, two steps back when you overextend, right? Like, that is literally the math of recovery. And the reason this is such an important piece of math for me, in terms of like, you have to embrace that this is just the way that the world works, is because if you don't, you are going to do more one step forward, two step backing than you will if you just embrace it. And so again, acceptance is key for me. I think that's the part of like, how did I get here? I need to accept that I am here, and then I'm going to figure out how to build some pennies for myself. So going back to the metaphor of waking up in the morning and having some pennies around, And then just walking around and doing the work that I have to do, like just functioning, takes a certain amount of pennies. So if I am getting, let's say, 100 pennies just for sleeping and eating, then if it also costs me 100 pennies to do just the basic base level work, it's going to take me longer to recover because I'm not filling those energy stores back up again. And so if I'm not conscious of the fact that I need to be making more pennies than I spend in burnout recovery, then that's when, again, when the process takes longer. So listening to, I am not ready to go there, like that intuition about, I don't think that I can write that many words. I don't think that I can get this book done, whatever that is, right? That intuition. I would listen to that. And if you need help, again, the perspective, I highly recommend coming and getting coaching or going to therapy about this, because I do believe that perspective is one of the most important parts of recovery and support. And this is something that, again, we'll talk about much later when we're going to have a group of people on together to talk about support. But support and perspective are extremely important. So when you have the, I do make pennies just by sort of sleeping and eating, and you do, you'll make some pennies. Those of you who, especially who are dominant in blue strengths, you'll make some pennies just by having the relationship needs met. So that will be good. And the more that you trend towards things naturally, like depression or anxiety from a clinical perspective, the more important it is to acknowledge it might not always feel like what I'm doing is making a difference. Whether you trend towards depression or anxiety does not matter, in that it can still be that way. But because it's common for burnout or burnout recovery to trigger like a clinical episode of something, it's more common for that to happen, then I would say just being conscious of how you are usually in your recovery periods, because anything that cycles like that, anything that has a natural up and down motion, is going to have moments where it feels like I'm making pennies and I am, but then it also is going to feel like I'm not making pennies sometimes, even when I am, even when sleeping doesn't appear to be restful, even when reading doesn't appear to relax me. Sometimes it isn't just about the reading itself or the sleeping itself or the exercise itself that would be helpful. Sometimes it is literally what you're not doing by doing those things. Like you're not cycling down into doom scrolling. You're not allowing your days to get mindlessly taken up by social media. You're not allowing yourself to do whatever destructive behavior that you had been doing in the pit. All of those pieces, I think, are important parts of recovery, in that when you understand what your job is when you're in the pit, and the job is to build the ladder rungs, then let's make the job as easy and fun as possible. Yes, but like, let's not lose sight of the fact that it is a beginning and an end process. And I guess that's why I call it a job. For me, when I get sick, like when I had COVID, it was easiest for me, because of the way my strategic works, to think of my job as getting better instead of my job as, you know, coaching or whatever it was, because I had to stop all of my coaching and just not do anything. Thankfully, my burnout was not like that, because I still have been able to coach and do like more hours every day now, which is great. At my height of coaching, I was doing somewhere between 10 and 12 hours a day. That was part of what led to the burnout, right? Because that's just overextending my social capacity. But even in the burnout pit, I was still able to do enough hours of coaching and be on and cognitively on, but that was all I could handle. So if I was doing 2 or 3 hours of coaching a day, that was all my brain could do. And then I needed to do something else. And so when I'm up now closer to 4 and 5 a day, which is probably where I'm going to stay sustainably for, you know, for a while, then I'm able to almost feel the difference between a month ago where I could do 2 and no more, and now where I feel good doing 5. And so much of that has been because I embraced the process and did the energy penny construction, and then allowed myself to do the 2 steps forward, 1 step back, which has been interesting. Those of you who've noticed the dates on on the burnout recovery videos. Of course, I did the first one just before Christmas, I think, and was so convinced that that was going to be what I would do to get out of the burnout pit, would be to make these recovery videos. And then, of course, a month went by before I made the next one, because it was just like, that was not what I needed to do, which is okay. Like, it's just funny. It's funny because the predictability of what we think is going to help us isn't always what will actually help us. And the way I think I know whether or not an activity is working is I can usually feel when I am not drained. So it's not necessarily that I'm fuller than I was, but I can feel when I'm not drained. So for instance, when I go on Facebook, and I love our groups and I love everyone in those groups, and thank God we have moderators. Thank you, Nikki, so much for the work that you're doing on the Facebook groups. They wouldn't exist right now without Nikki, because I am just not able to, those of you who saw in December, like we went for a whole month without moderating posts because I just couldn't make myself do it. And it was like, I could feel my energy going down every single time I even just read a post. And it wasn't about the people or what they were asking. It was just the way that my energy was being consumed so much by having to think about all of the things I would have to think about to answer posts on social media. And so when I would notice that I was so drained, and then I would go do something like play Animal Crossing, which of course we're going to talk more about in the actual, like more of the physical recovery segments. But when I would do something like play Animal Crossing, I would notice that I wasn't being drained in the same way. Or like when I would be coaching, I wasn't being drained at the same level that I was when I would try to do like a podcast episode, or when I was doing responding to comments and stuff like that. So there are definitely, I think, markers for yourself. And I would, and again, I want to acknowledge not everyone has the capacity to be that fully aware of everything and of how they feel all the time. And there's nothing wrong if you don't have that. But I would look back then in the past at what has made you feel better in terms of are you a new and different strength person? Do you need to have brand new experiences and new information and learn new things and go new places and meet new people in order to feel like your tank is full? And if that is the case, then you need to do those things on whatever level you feel safe doing them in order to make as many pennies as you possibly can make while you're in burnout recovery. If you're a person who needs alone time or solitude, you have to take that time. You have to get away from people, and people may not be happy about this. They may not understand. They may not enjoy it, but it still needs to happen in order for you to get what you need out of the situation. And I feel like so much of what we do, especially those of us who are dominant in blue strengths, so much of what we do is for the benefit of other people. And that's not a bad thing. And I'm not telling people to not be wired that way. But when you're in burnout recovery, the lines have to get drawn a little bit more carefully. And you really need to protect the energy that you do have, because the more you protect that energy, the faster you come out of it. And so the piece of acceptance, I think, is important. And then the understanding of what the process looks like. So I do make a certain amount of energy, like I said, just naturally by existing, by sleeping. Some of us need to sleep a lot more than we are letting ourselves, because we're doing things like TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at night, and it's not allowing us to sleep as much. So I just want to challenge you that if you're in burnout recovery right now, as much as it might feel like that is helping, I would encourage you to try sleeping instead and see if that helps more, like helps you to feel more rested. And there's something that I can't remember where I saw this. It was on it was in an article somewhere where someone was talking about the time that we spend at night after we're all done with our work and everything. And part of the reason that we end up allowing ourselves to do that for so long is because it's called revenge nighttime procrastination, I think, or nighttime revenge procrastination or something like that, where we're putting off going to sleep because we're so angry that we have to wake up tomorrow morning and do whatever it is that we don't want to do. And so we stay up too late and rob ourselves of sleep because we're getting revenge on whatever part of us committed to this thing, so that we can like have some time to ourselves. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not, when I say like get some quiet time or time to yourself, I'm not talking about robbing yourself of sleep in order to make that happen. What I would like to see instead is some systems changes and boundaries that will help. And again, please talk to a therapist or get coaching about this if you need it. I feel like this is also part of what gets us into the burnout pits. And then, like I said, we'll talk about support in upcoming times, but we also get energy pennies from support. And sometimes that means that we have to reach out to people and let them know that we do need help. And because it often feels like everybody is struggling right now, that it might feel like I can't do that. And I'm going to encourage you, if you have thought about asking for help and then talked yourself out of it, I want you to go and send that email right now while we're sitting here on the video. Open the email, open your text message, text the person, ask for help, ask them to do whatever it is that you haven't been asking them to do and just see what happens. And if they say no, then you know where you stand, but don't not ask. And this is the ask versus guess culture conversation that we had in Facebook group a little while ago, where some of us won't ask if we think the answer is going to be no. And I'm going to encourage you to just ask anyway and see if you can get some help from some support from some people somewhere. And those of us who are not necessarily like support is not our first thought. And we're very much the, I need to do it myself. And I've got this. And a lot of people don't think to check in on us because we appear to have everything together. And so they don't always think like, oh, there's my friend who needs help. So I want to encourage you, even if people don't seem to be noticing that you're not okay, I want you still to ask for support or help, even if that support or help is coaching or therapy, because that also counts for me. That counts. It doesn't have to be friendship. It can be professional support as well. The other piece about this, what energy, penny spending and production looks like in burnout recovery that I want to talk about really fast is the currency exchange. And I know we've talked about this just a little bit in the past about the way energy pennies are burned at higher levels sometimes. So when you are in the burnout pit and you are trying to build the ladder out, which takes pennies to build the ladder, like, and it takes a lot of pennies sometimes to build the ladder. But when you're in that place, you're not always operating on the same currency exchange all the time. When you hit the two steps back part of the recovery or one step back part, your currency exchange increases. So I am no longer getting one penny for one penny the way that I used to. I'm now spending two pennies for something that used to cost me one, or three pennies that used to cost me one, because I'm running so low on my stores that I'm just not able to reach for it the way that I used to. Because when we're on the normal road, like on the non-recovery road and non-burnout road, we have a store of energy to reach for so that when we go into those places where we need a lot of extra energy, we reach for it, it's there, and then it gets filled back up sort of more naturally. And we'll talk more about that in future videos about what we're hoping will happen after burnout recovery is over. But when you don't have that bank of pennies to rely on and you're in burnout because all the pennies are gone, then it means you're going to have to know that sometimes it won't feel like you're recovered. Sometimes it won't feel like you're making pennies because the energy exchange has changed so much that you're just not able to produce and spend at the same level that you used to be able to. It might take everything that you have just to get out of bed in the morning. Like, that is a real thing. Or it might take everything that you have just to sit down at the manuscript and write any words, and you're not able to write for long. What I just want to say is, in most of these situations, well, and let me talk about the exception in a second, but in most of these situations where you have an energy penny exchange difference in the burnout pit, it is not, it doesn't last long, right? Like it's however long the recovery is going to last, which I guess to be fair for some of us feels like forever. Even though it's not, it's often not long, you know, a month or two, maybe a little bit longer, depending on how long it took you to get into burnout, before you can get back to a place where you're really going one step forward and maybe one step back every once in a while. Because of course, from in my head, I think of it as 25% recovered, 50% recovered, 75% recovered, right? You'll be 75% recovered where you're doing mostly one step forward and sometimes a step or two back after not long. That is the hope if you're doing the energy penny making activities. Unless it took you a really long time to get into burnout, or if the source of the burnout hasn't been addressed, because that's the other piece that absolutely will not be full recovery. Full recovery, like 100% back to normal, takes quite a while, but getting to 75% usually means that we're pretty clear of the pit. We're probably not going to go back into burnout unless something major happens. And we usually have enough stores that we can operate on a relatively normal level. And that's where I think, like for me, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm trying not to push too hard. And it is important in that 75% place not to push too hard, because you don't want to slide any farther back than you already are. And then you're so close to that normal place. So when you are feeling better and feeling better, then it's really important to still not be like, I don't need this help anymore, because you might still. So where do we go from here? If you are in burnout, and again, I'm hoping that not as many of you as I think are in burnout. But if you are, just make sure that you're conscious about doing activities that make you pennies and don't take them away. So being able to address the issues that are, you're having to soothe essential pain a lot, practicing the acceptance of being in burnout recovery so that you're not having to struggle all the time with, it shouldn't be happening, you shouldn't be doing this. That is a, your expectation and reality are not meshing well with each other situation. So that's really important. But the other piece is there are things that you would not expect would have an impact on you that really would. Things like the way your environment looks. Like I am convinced that a huge piece, as I sit here looking out at like all green and water and bright, beautiful landscape, where before I was in a concrete, like I'm just not a concrete jungle person. I'm not a person who likes to be surrounded by buildings and not be able to see and have that feeling of claustrophobia. For me, it's claustrophobia. And so I was not aware that the environment that I was in was also playing a part in my not being able to recover as quickly. Because as soon as I got here, it's like, it's getting so much better, so much faster, just because the environment isn't oppressing me all the time. Not that it's oppressive to everyone, but just to me. And so knowing that, little things like what I look at every day and whether or not my house feels like relatively clean and organized, whether or not I've unpacked boxes, whether or not I have moved yet, whether or not my organization has happened. Like so many of those things can affect our energy penny production and or our consumption. So every single time you do something, think of, is this taking or is it giving? And try to do less of the things that take energy from you and more of the things that give you energy. And so I want to thank you all for being here and watching this. We do have a couple more videos left in this series. We're going to do hopefully one at a time. And of course, of this quick cast as well. And additionally, if you are looking for more support, the Patreon is a great place to find it, either individual coaching or our micro coaching sessions, which is the 10 minutes at a time in a small group, six, seven, eight people. And so small group coaching, which I think is really beneficial to be around other writers and be coached by one of our certified strengths coaches. I highly recommend that if you haven't yet, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. Please tune in for more. Thank you all so much for being here. And please let me know if you made it to the end here and tell me what is your favorite activity to do to make energy pennies if you made it all the way to the end. I'm really excited to hear about what everyone is up to and how we are making pennies together. This episode has made a lot of pennies for me, so I appreciate all of you being here. And I will talk to you on the next QuickCast. Bye, everybody.